Evan, welcome back to the show. How are you, man?
I couldn't be better. Thanks for having me.
I would suspect that you couldn't be better. I mean, you know, have you had an opportunity to kind of just sit back and just think for a second that, wait a minute, you know, I went through all that garbage I was going through with the Eagles to being a Denver Bronco, and now I'm a Super Bowl champion, forever introduced as Super Bowl champion Evan Mathis. I mean, has that all sunk in at all yet, or is it all still kind of a whirlwind?
It's kind of still a whirlwind. It's a really surreal experience. You know, every now and then I get a couple minutes to sit there and reflect, and, you know, just thinking about it puts a smile on your face. Yeah, I highly recommend winning the Super Bowl if anyone out there is considering it.
especially if you get in a pissing contest with your old team, right? To go someplace and win a Super Bowl, that doesn't hurt, right?
No, that worked out. That worked out just fine.
It's been well documented. It cost you a few bucks. There's no question about it. But you stood by your guns and stood by your what you felt was the right thing to do. At the end, I mean, is it worth it? I mean, is it worth it when you look at it and say, you know what? If you were talking to other players and you're making decent money anyway, and they said, you know what? Go play someplace you want where you feel wanted and where you can, and then win a Super Bowl. And is that kind of offset whatever it is in terms of dollars, you know, that might have been lost in a transaction?
I mean, at this point in my career, year 11, it's not like I lost that money in my first contract or, you know, my first year. You know, I lost it in year 11. So, I mean, I can afford to lose it, especially if I'm going to end up in a situation like I did. And as soon as I got to Denver, one of the things I told the media was you can't put a price on peace of mind. I don't care how much, you know, I don't care how much you were going to pay me to be in Philadelphia. If I had the choice between the two, knowing how things would unfold, I'm easily going to choose Denver no matter what, because the Super Bowl experience, being able to share that with those guys, being able to make that run, that's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and I'm grateful that I was able to experience it.
Yeah, and I think your entire career is a study in getting better as you go. People think that you're your best when you come out of college, and you were great at Alabama. You had a 4-year starter at Alabama, but drafted by the Panthers, and then, you know, some time with the Dolphins, the Bengals, and then you really blossom with the Eagles. But you've played the best football of your life really in your 30s, you know, and it kind of shows that a player can get better. I mean, do you think it was just circumstance, or do you think you literally became a much better player in the last 3, 4, 5 years?
I think it's a combination of everything. A little bit of circumstance, but when I came into the league, I was very raw as a player. And it took me a little while to develop, as well as find the right situation, the right circumstance. And there's a lot of guys in the NFL who benefit from and who are victim to timing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of luck goes into it, ending up in the right situation with the right people in the right place. I stuck with it, kept doing everything I could every single year to become a better player. And it was my seventh year before I actually became worth a damn.
Well, 2013, you know, first team All Pro, you know, Pro Bowl appearance. You backed it up with the Pro Bowl again in 2014. I mean, come on, that's a little bit more than worth a damn. I watched the Sound FX bit last night on the NFL Network, and it's fascinating to watch, and it really gave me a new appreciation even for Peyton Manning. And I, you know, you're in there several times as well, and there's that moment right before when you guys are on the field in pregame where Manning says three things, and it basically breathe, have fun, and play your ass off. And you know, that seems to be, you know, and that seemed to be a calming thing, really, from a guy. I mean, that is true leadership, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's a great reminder from a guy who's been there. He's been in that situation. You're on the largest stage possible. There's potentially a tremendous amount of pressure. And to hear a guy give you that kind of advice, it definitely is calming. And it reminds you that you need to do what you do. Do the same thing that you did that got you there. And that's just play football, not worry about, you know, not worry about what game it is, not worry about how many people are watching. You just need to go focus on doing your job, and that takes breathing.
Yeah. Evan Mathis with us here at a Tom Abraham Show. All right, and it seemed to be the last half of the season. I mean, look, he couldn't throw the ball out of his shadow, it seemed like. But he was making calls at the line of scrimmage for you guys and putting you in the right running plays when you know, and doing those types of things. Just talk about that and knowing that, hey, that's part of the whole deal. Not only did you win a Super Bowl, but you got to play with, you know, one of the five greatest quarterbacks in the history of the NFL in his swan song. I mean, most people expect that he'll announce pretty soon that he's hanging it up. So that, that's got to make it extra special. But just talk about what it's like at the line of scrimmage when he's barking out all those calls.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great experience to be able to play with one of the all-time greats. And the way he manages the game is like no other. So we'll go to the line with a few plays called at a time, you know, maybe two or three, and Peyton does a great job at recognizing the defense and putting us in the best possible of those plays. And you can always trust that he's going to do that.
Yeah, and there was one point in time on that FX show last night, they showed it, we're in the huddle, and obviously he does this a lot, but they showed one time in the huddle where he says, dummy audible, which I can only assume, and I coached for 11 years, I kind of got a little bit of a clue as to what's going on, but I can only assume that he's telling you guys, no matter what I say, we're running the play that was called in the huddle.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we do that a lot, and especially when you're playing defense like the Panthers, and you got a super intelligent guy back there like Luke Kuechly. Luke is very good at recognizing the offensive calls, the offensive formation. So, you know, it's kind of like a poker game out there where you have to bluff a little bit to throw them off the scent.
Do you ever find yourself with your hand in the dirt or in your stance and you're listening to Manning doing all this stuff and you just want to laugh inside at some of the crazy stuff that he's saying and you know that they're dummy calls or whatever and he's got all this crazy gyrations that are going on and everything? And I don't know. I sometimes want to laugh just watching it, but do you guys ever find yourself kind of like having a little bit of fun with him and on some of these calls he makes?
Well, most of the calls that he's making, those dummy audibles are actually real audibles that we use. So it's we're used to it. It's, you know, it's second nature to us. So, you know, when we do all that, you know, maybe at first in practice, the first time we hear some of these funny, calls, these funny words that, you know, there's a connection there, that there's a reason that we named it this or that. And it's kind of funny that, you know, it is a joke at first, but we become so used to it that, you know, it's just, it becomes our call. You know, we have a lot, as an offensive line, we have a lot of weird and funny calls too that at first they're really outrageous, but because they're so outrageous, they're going to help you remember exactly what you're doing when you hear those, you know, those outlandish words or whatever it is we're doing.
Of course, he's, you know, we've heard Omaha 50,000 times over the last several years, but it's kind of this year heard more of these like little Omahas where he'd start to say Omaha and then snap the ball, you know what I mean, and it seemed to be, you know, just whatever you can do to gain an edge.
I think Peyton has he does a really good job at protecting his calls and his audibles. So and we're week by week we're adjusting words, and you know, one play is one word on one week, and then you know, 3 weeks later we have four different words for that one play because he, you know, it might have been audible on the TV copy that week, so we have to protect it and change the name.
Evan Mathis with us, Super Bowl champion Evan Mathis. You know, there's been a lot of talk about your defense, and your defense was absolutely fantastic. It was amazing. You mentioned Luke Kuechly. That's one of the things that comes out of that show last night is how smart Kuechly is and how what an unbelievable player he is. I mean, that defense, as great as your defense was, that defense that you guys played, I mean, they were outstanding, really. I mean, they were great what they were doing. In terms of, you know, for you guys, how difficult did they make it, especially when I know they ran some of those A-gap blitzes and got to Peyton a couple of times in there, but, you know, how difficult was it going up against that front and that linebacking core? Because I know a lot of times you're responsible, you know, with those inside linebackers.
We knew what we were up against. They have a great defense, just tons of talent across the board. You know, but we put in a lot of work for 2 weeks. I was definitely excited, you know, up to the challenge of playing guys like, you know, Kawan Short, who's, I think he made the All-Pro team, and you got Kuechly, Thomas Davis, like you mentioned. You know, there's when you're just getting a chance to play against guys of that caliber on the biggest stage, you know, I couldn't ask for anything better than that. But, yeah, they came out there. They showed us they love generating pressure. They love getting the quarterback space. And they had some looks that confused some of the blocking schemes, so some guys got free. But when they didn't get free, we made them pay for it for coming up the middle. But, yeah, I mean, it's a great defense, a very well-coached defense, and they played their butts off.
You sound like you're on the road. I know you told me you would be on the road. Are you on the way back to Alabama from Denver, or are you guys on the way to vacation? You could hear the kids in the background.
Yeah, my daughters are in the back. Our off-season home is in Arizona, so I'm driving from Colorado to Arizona right now.
Okay, all right. That's good. How often do you get back to Alabama?
Probably about 2 or 3 weeks out of every year. I'm headed there early March this year.
All right. Now, your deal, you're 34 years old. You just won this Super Bowl championship. Were you on a one-year deal there, or are you a free agent again already, or do you have another year to go on your contract?
Yeah, I was on a one-year deal, so pending free agent.
Is the hope, obviously the hope is you to continue to play, but is the hope for you to stay there in Denver? Would you just as soon, you know, with or without Peyton, stay right there in Denver?
I like the organization. I like the city. I like everything about it. Definitely wouldn't mind going back there.
Of course, you know, Arizona wouldn't be bad. That's right around, you know, so you got a home near there. So I guess that wouldn't suck either, I suppose. But, all right, man, I'll tell you, congratulations. Great stuff. A great thing to have happen in your career. And I appreciate you taking a few times to join us. You did a great job there this year. And however long you want to play, God bless you. Go out there and keep it going, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it.